what we are going to attempt to do tonight, Be'ezrat Hashem, is quickly run through the preparations and the Seder itself. Please do not drink yet. I am sorry. I want you to be thirsty. Ani rotze shtiayef. No, wait. Make believe it's the Seder. You're going to come to the Seder thirsty and tired. And that's what I want you to experience tonight too. So, no crackers. Sorry. We're making believe it's the real Seder tonight.
No, okay.
No crackers. Every other class I let you guys eat and drink and coffee and I bring you whatever you want. Tonight, do me a favor. Experience the real thing. And the real thing really begins a few weeks beforehand. Tonight, if you really need a Coke, drink a Coke, Yitzhak. But I'm telling you that on the Seder night, you'll be more tired than this. So, you might as well get used to it. I want us to have a little bit of a mock experience of the Seder. Now, the preparations for the Seder really begin a few weeks before the Seder, when we clean the house and our house is chametz free. We get rid of all forms of chametz. And we have to purchase a few things for the Seder. So we have to purchase matzahs. We have to purchase matzahs that are matzah shmura, that have been watched for the sake of the mitzvah from the time, preferably of harvesting, possibly from grinding it into flour, or else from the time it was made into dough. But ideally we take matzah shmura from the time of harvesting, which is what most matzahs say, matzah shmura mishat kitzira. Now, you can buy handmade matzahs, which are ordinarily made round, or machine-made matzahs. At my Seder, you will have handmade matzahs, and also machine matzahs to your liking. We have over here, we're waiting for Yehuda to come, he hid it somewhere in the room. We have machine matzah somewhere. And we're beginning. Yehuda, where'd you hide our matzahs? Okay, Yeshukach. Now, classically, every year when we make the Seder, so we, at the end of the Seder, a bunch of guys ask me, where can I get more matzah? And I tell them the stores are ordinarily closed on Chol HaMoed. Most stores are going to be closed until you find an open store. Come, have a pack of matzahs. So this year, I've learned from previous year's mistakes, and I bought an extra pack of matzah. And gentlemen, you're welcome to purchase at the end of class. This is kosher, the Mehadrin Shmura Matzah. If you want, it's very, very cheap. And at the end of the class, first come, first serve, we'll sell this matzah. But part of the preparation for the Seder is get your own matzah. And have matzah for Pesach and for the Seder. If you're a guest, then your host is going to have it. You're welcome. It's a nice thing to offer, either to bring matzah or chip in. Another thing we need for the Seder is wine, right? We're each going to drink 4 cups of wine. Every year I recommend that guys dilute the wine and drink partially grape juice, and every year guys don't listen to me. So tonight I'd rather you each take 4 cups of wine, so you sense it tonight, and then learn your lesson, and hopefully by the time the Seder comes, you'll realize it's not a good idea. Ordinarily our Seder runs till about 2 to 4 a.m., depending on the group of guys that come. This year, I hope we'll run that late, but in our model Seder in past years, we ran till 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. This year, we're limited. We have an hour and a half. So we're going to try to cover as much as we can in our hour and a half. Now, so these are machine matzahs. This pack we're going to use tonight. For the Seder, we need 3 matzahs for the head of the Seder. And everyone else at the Seder is going to need approximately 2 matzahs for the Seder. We have the famous Seder plate, which we'll make a mock plate over here. We have 3 matzahs, which we refer to as Kohen Levi and Yisrael. We have a cooked egg that commemorates the Karban Chagiga. And we have a cooked piece of chicken, which we'll replace with a cooked egg tonight, because I forgot to prepare it. See, that's why it's good. My wife always prepares to say that. I forgot. A cooked piece of chicken. We roast the piece of chicken to commemorate the Karban Pesach. So we'll make believe there's a roasted piece of chicken. Yeah. Right, excellent. Now, in preparation for the Seder, so we also have to, we're going to dip our maror in charoses. What is maror? Maror is the name of a species, and there are 5 different types of plant that are included in the maror species. We know 2. One is lettuce, and the other one is horseradish. So, because I want us to get the real feel, so we are going to begin with our preparation on the eve of Pesach. Everyone knows that the eve of Pesach, the day before Pesach, we burn all remaining chametz. And then we say kol chamir v'chamia. The night beforehand, we already did bdikat chametz. We checked throughout our house for chametz. Those of you who are leaving Machon Mir and coming back, make sure to check your rooms before you leave. You have to check, do bdikas chametz over here. So the night before Pesach, we do bdikat chametz. The following morning, in the morning, we eat our last breakfast chametz. And then we burn the remainder chametz. And then we are getting ready for Pesach. The rest of the day should be spent getting ready for Pesach, which means, like every holiday, we have to prepare with shaving and taking a haircut and showering. You might want to shave and take your haircut 2 or 3 days beforehand to beat the rush. Don't forget that after Pesach, you have Sfer Somer. You're supposed to have your laundry done for Yom Tiv. That's why Chazal forbade doing laundry on Chol HaMoed, so that we won't spend Chol HaMoed doing laundry, but rather we'll have our laundry ready. So make sure you do your laundry before. And we have also basic preparations. Everyone who's coming to my house for the Seder is expected to be there the morning before the Seder. Bring your pillows so that you have what to lean on at the Seder. You have a place for the Seder? Or are you going to join us too? You're okay? Okay. So you prepare a pillow so that you could lean on at the Seder, right? You have to lean when we drink the wine, when we eat the matzah. So you bring your to my house a pillow. And cups, I have cups, you'll each choose your becher. We also prepare the maror the morning before the Seder. And that means we're going to wash this and then grind it. And I purposely didn't wash it because I want you guys to have the full experience. So who wants to volunteer to wash the maror? Every year Asher Chaim does it. Okay, so you take one and let's say I think one will be enough. Go ahead. It's all yours. Okay. Now, so we have maror, which the Torah says together with the Korban Pesach we have to eat matzah and maror. So we don't have a Korban Pesach, so we're not biblically obligated to eat maror. It's a rabbinic institution to eat maror. So we eat maror at the Seder and we make a bracha on the maror. We eat a kezayis of maror, and we will discuss later on what is a kezayis, the volume of an olive. Now, we dip the maror in charoses. What is charoses? So Chazal instituted, they said if you eat maror straight, the maror could be harmful. They said you have to dip it in some kind of dip that will make the maror less powerful, less potent. And what do we make the charoses out of? So we make it out of dates, and we make it out of apples, and we make it out of almonds. And these correspond to the fruits that Am Yisrael was compared to. We also put sticks of cinnamon, if you can find kosher for Pesach, sticks of cinnamon, which for some reason you can't. I can't, maybe you could. Now we put together, you arranged it, or you will arrange it?
We'll arrange it now.
We put together a few years ago, a series Back to Basics, where I summarize all the halachot for the Seder, and we'll give it out at the end of the Seder. We don't need it now. Now we're going to say it all orally. If you can put it together, in Imatov. And at my Seder also, I mean, those who have copies in Imatov, we also give out copies at the Seder. Every person should have Agadah. It's one of the things you need for the Seder, right? You need Agadah. So get yourself a Hebrew-English Agadah and get something that you can understand. My personal recommendation is if all you want to know is the Halachot, so there's a Haggadah, an art scroll Haggadah called the Kol Dodi Haggadah, which was written by Rabbi David Feinstein, and I think that's very clear and very good to use. That's a Haggadah I personally use every year. So if you want Divrei Torah, so there are many Haggadot with Divrei Torah, but you got to know what you're doing. No, that for sure not. So I'll arrange it in a few minutes. If you could, toda rabah. Okay, so now in preparation for the Seder, we said we need wine, 4 cups per person, and I recommend you dilute your wine with grape juice. But, as I said, people, if you're not going to listen to me at the Seder, don't listen to me tonight. Try it out tonight, and after you've had a taste of it, you'll decide at the Seder if you really want to do it every year. By the time 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock comes, the guys who drank solid wine and boasted how they could handle their wine, bam, they're out. Some years we have some drunks at the table, and Chazal, we're worried about drunks. That's why Chazal said we have to be careful not to drink wine after the meal, meaning before the meal and during the meal, Chazal said the wine will have less of an effect. And before the meal also, it's better not to drink wine, but we could drink other drinks. During the meal, Chazal said the wine won't intoxicate as much because you're eating other things, you could drink more wine. And after the meal, Chazal said don't add to the cups of wine because Chazal said you might get drunk. And believe me, at our Seder, we've had drunks. So even though Purim, we don't let drunks in the house, Pesach, they become drunk in the house, I got nothing I can do. But I strongly recommend dilute your wine, one part wine, 2-3 parts grape juice, and it's fine. Okay, now, charoses. The charoses we commemorate the fact that the Egyptians made us make mortar, and that's why we put sticks of cinnamon that correspond to the sticks of straw, the pieces of straw that were in the mortar, and it really looks like mortar. How do we make the charoses? So, we take a little bit of dates and crush them up, or else if you combine ready crushed dates like this, that's even better. Yecheskel, you'll help us out here. You have a bowl. If you could fork out some dates spread there. And Relia, I'll give you another bowl. You can start grinding apple. I'll give an apple to grind. Yitzchak, could you quickly go wash the apples? I'll give you two apples to wash. You'll wash it? Okay. Just a second. Here's the grind. And guys, this is part of the Seder experience. Don't cop out and tell me my wife is going to do it. You do it. It's part of the Seder experience. So make your family sorosis. I don't care, as long as it's kosher for Pesach. Dani, could you make us salt water? We're going to dip the vegetable in salt water. You don't need that much salt. I brought a lot of salt. If you make one cup, that's fine. We have our becher. We have more cups. Just salt and water. These, we don't need these apples. That's the truth. We only need one portion. So these apples will hold off on. Okay, when we buy the maror, if the maror that we're buying is lettuce, so then read the label. The label sometimes says insect and worm free, so then you're okay. Sometimes it says must be washed because there are bugs. There aren't worms and insects, but there are little bugs. So then you have to wash it. This says you don't have to wash it. So okay, but here it says our recommendation is that you should soak it in water with soap and afterwards wash it off and only then eat it. That's what it says in Hebrew. So that's what you should do. So who's going to do that? Yitzhak, you have koch? No. You'll do it? Okay. Here you go. It's all yours. You need a bowl? And the apples I'll give you right now. Guys, if you could bring back whatever you could do here, please do here because we're going to move forward. Here's the apple. Now, the apple, it says, Tachat atapuach ho'oticha. Under the apple tree, I aroused you. That's a reference to the Jewish people in Egypt, that the wives used to come out under the trees and get them and encourage the husbands to eat and drink and then live with them. Okay, so here we have this, but wait with that, and then we add wine to the charoses. We add the wine on Yom Tov as well. We'll get to that. Okay, now, the last point, which is... Yeah, if you're going to push the stuff, so better not, better there. Okay, gentlemen. Now, our goal at the Seder is to get the children... has to be washed out. We'll wash them in a minute. Our goal at the Seder is to get the children involved. We're passing on tradition. So, in order to get the children involved, we do some things that are out of the ordinary. And we're going to discuss that soon. Mary, do you mind cutting this? Here's a knife. And washing it. The first thing that we do out of the ordinary, if you recall, is that we dip a vegetable in salt water in the beginning. We ignore the meal. We make kiddush, and then suddenly instead of going on to the meal, we dip vegetable in salt water. Here's a knife. Here's this. You can wash it. Yeah, and then slice it open, take out the inside, and bring it back. And here's a plate. We have plates. Okay, so that's what we call karpas. Karpas is the name of a vegetable. Ideally, you should take a green vegetable. In Europe, they didn't have green vegetables this time of year, so they used to use potatoes. But the ideal is that you use a potato that's edible raw, an edible that's a vegetable that's green, which is why I brought a green pepper. That's the simplest thing to use. Okay, now how do you grate an apple? Whatever is easier for you. Doesn't matter. I use the bigger one. No, the other side, that one, yeah. That's what I use. If you hold it by the handle, I think it'll be easier for you. Whatever you want. Doesn't matter. That there's no tradition on. Now, the grated apple is going to go into the charoses. And you'll see the charoses comes out delicious every year. After he finishes grating the apple, we're going to begin grating the maror. And Danny's going to help us out with that. I've never seen a soldier cry, so I want to see it. Okay. So... now, while they're doing their work preparing, and guys, don't just prepare here. When you're married, you're supposed to help also. This is part of the family job, and everyone's supposed to be part of helping on Erev Yom Tov. What we're going to do at the Seder night is we are going to perform a few mitzvot. Some are biblical and some are rabbinic. The two biblical mitzvot, we're going to... into small pieces, but if you could just take out the inside... I took out the inside. Okay. If it's into small pieces, it's fine. Yeah, a little bit bigger than salad pieces. I want people hungry tonight. Because at the Seder, you're going to be hungry. And every year I tell the guys, you're going to come to the Seder hungry. And they live up to it every year. And then I tell them, guys, you're not supposed to eat so much of the karpas. And they say, right, Rabbi. And they eat away. So I want you guys to have a taste of it tonight. Tonight our Seder is only going to last another hour, so you could contain your appetites for 1 hour. But the idea is that when you eat a vegetable like this, so it fends off the appetite a little bit, but it's not filling. You're maintaining your appetite for the meal. And the kid is going to have a piece of pepper and he's going to say, "Dad, I'd like salad. I'd like food." And his father's going to say, "Yeah, but we have a whole thing set up. Why am I not giving you food yet?" And the kid goes, "I don't know. Why not?" Now, the truth is, there's no reason to hold off the kids on eating. The kids could do what they want. But if the kid has had a normal supper beforehand, say you could hold off whatever's normal. Anything that involves pain for a kid, that's not chinuch. We don't do chinuch and things that are just like a kid doesn't have to wait for Abdullah. A kid can eat before Abdullah. We don't do anything in chinuch that's enough. It's enough, Meir. Small enough. Yishkoach. Seder. Leave it. It's good. Yeah, it's fine. Okay. Okay, so now we said we have biblical mitzvot, which one is telling over the Agadah, that's a biblical mitzvah, and number two is eating the matzah on the Seder night. Let's leave off Kiddush for a different night to discuss. So when we eat, the Torah tells us eating is defined as eating the volume of a kezayis, the volume of an olive, in the time span of the time it would take you to eat half a loaf of bread. That's called kedei achilas pras. The time it would take to eat pras, half a loaf of bread. And a loaf of bread is considered a loaf that's the volume of about 8 or 10 eggs. It's a machlokas. So that's about the volume in a piece of bread, a chunk of bread, that would be the volume of 4 eggs. So let's see, we have here pretty small eggs. That would mean that if we're talking about a piece of egg, a piece of bread that's about this size, 4 eggs, right? The amount of time it would take you to eat this, you have to eat the volume of an olive. Now, how long would it take you to eat this? Let's say a minute and a half, something like that, till you chew and swallow and chew and swallow. So we say that kedei achilas pras, there are different opinions how long that is. The opinions range from 2 minutes, a minute and a half, to 9 minutes. That's a very difficult one. Go figure how it takes 9 minutes. But then again, we haven't yet discussed the volume, the true volume of an egg. Now, when the Gemara describes the volume of kezayis, or the Gemara describes the volume of a revis, and the Gemara describes the volume of a mikvah, so the Gemara gives us two measurements, two units. We know that in the Torah we have two forms of measurement. We have three forms of measurement. We have weight, we have volume, and we have distance, right? So the Gemara describes it giving us two descriptions. One is a vessel. Let's quote the exact numbers. The Talmud says like this. A vessel that contains a kezayis, a revius, Rav Chisda says, equals a container the measure of 2 by 2 by 2.7 thumb units. And then the Gemara says that that's equivalent to 1.5 eggs. Now the problem is that at approximately 300 years ago, they realized that when you make these two containers, one that's 2 by 2 by 2.7 thumb units, and one that's 1.5 eggs, the 1.5 eggs are half the size of the one that the Gemara says is identical, 2 by 2 by 2.7 thumb units. That's it. Mary, we don't need that much. Yecheskel, sorry. I haven't had wine yet. The question is, if the Gemara gives us two units that are supposed to be identical, and one is double the other, what happens? So one understanding is, well, everyone grew, we've all been healthy, so our thumbs are twice the size of the thumbs in the time of the Talmud. The other understanding is that the eggs and the olives, they all got smaller. So we don't know which way to go. We generally assume that, so here there's a machlokas. Do we say when the Talmud tells us the volume of an olive, the Talmud meant the volume of a large olive, but that would still be about half an egg? These are small eggs. So you see an egg? The volume of about half an egg. So that's what the Talmud tells us is the volume of an olive. And then we say that must be our hand units got bigger or something. And that's the smaller shear for a kezayis. That's the kezayis that's called Rav Chaim Noyes kezayis.
I have a question about it.
Just a second, let's just finish the thought. Or do we say that the eggs got smaller and the kezayis got smaller and everything got smaller? And then we say that an egg in their time used to be double the size of this egg, and then an olive in their time used to be the size of an egg. And then when we say you have to eat the volume of an olive of matzah, what we're saying is really the volume of an egg. A kezayis, which in Chazal's time was half the olive, so if everything became half, so then the egg is half the egg it was in Chazal's time, so our eggs are equal to their olives. And that is unclear. That's what's called the Chazanish. It's known as the Chazanish's shear. Really, it precedes the Chazanish by a few hundred years. But that, it stems from this question. So in biblical mitzvot, we try to be more careful, and we say that you have to eat a kezayis, so let's assume that a kezayis is a larger size, the volume of an egg. Now, if you measure this, so what volume do you come up with? So we're going to measure the eggs. By displacement, Mayor, you mind cleaning these out and filling them up? Just fill them up till a mark, and then we'll see how much it goes up from
there. I have a question about...
I'm with you. What's your question?
This, we can buy this beautiful egg, the Keara. Keara.
Yeah.
And it's place for everyone. Yes, so it's this nest setting.
Yeah.
So in its volume of kezai, because it's like eggs size. So is it enough to fool...
They make them. I was just at the store looking at them today. They make them all kinds of different sizes. You can't go by that.
No.
You have to estimate. And tonight we're going to measure and see the sizes, and we'll see how you could estimate. At the Seder, you'll have to estimate.
Maybe it is possible to feel, this places.
You have to estimate. Okay. You have to take what you do is you take, let's say maror is derabbanon, is rabbinic. So we take the smaller shear for maror, right? So the smaller shear we said is, let's say the volume of half an egg, but these eggs are small. Most eggs that are sold in the store are bigger. This is like 2/3 of a real egg. I didn't realize it when I brought these eggs. And you estimate. You take salad leaves and you say, okay, let's see. If I fold these up, right? So you saw how big the leaf was before I folded it up. This is... almost half an egg, right? One average leaf is almost half an egg. So you figure, you take two, it's okay. You're fine, you estimate. Okay? That's it. But you have to get rid of the airspace. The airspace doesn't count. And the same thing with the matzah, but the matzah is a little tricky. So that's why the matzah will actually measure tonight, just so we have a picture at the Seder, how much matzah do we have to eat to fulfill our obligation. So did we get the cans with water? Not yet. Okay. Yishar koach for the charoses. Yecheskel, Yeshukach, Dani, are we ready to start grinding maror, or you don't want to? It's all yours. Here's the maror, here's the grinder.
Should I get the
Not yet, we'll staple them. And here's... Here you go. Okay. Okay, that's horseradish. Now, the boiled horseradish is sometimes soaked in vinegar, which would disqualify it from the Seder night. So, if you're going to...
It's better here. It's better up to one.
Okay. Here's a flat plate. Here you go. Here. I'll give you a clean one. Okay. Seder. Yeah. Do you mind passing me the two jugs of water? The two jugs, Toda Oba. Okay. Now, let's get it exactly at 4 ounces. Last year I had a better measuring cup. Okay, we're not at 4 ounces. This is an inaccurate science today. But go ahead, take an egg, measure, see how much you get. Take an egg, put it in, and see how much, what's the volume of an average egg. See for yourself. We might need more water. Let's see.
So now it's 150 milliliters.
Sit. You do it. So pass it on, let the next guy do it.
It should be like average egg. It's 50 milliliters.
Okay. So we say that usually an average egg is 2.2 ounces. I don't know how much you came out there. 2.2 ounces. Now.
I'm not strong in ounces.
What?
I know milliliter. How is 1 ounce?
Okay, gentlemen, guys, let's let's stay together. Usually we peel it. I forgot to bring the peeler tonight. Okay, I want to see how many ounces is this cup. Mayor, could you pass me the jug, please? Toda rabah. Okay. An average egg is 2.2 fluid ounces. Now, how much is this? 4 ounces. We need to drink 3.3 ounces. This is about how much wine you have to drink from each cup. Now, this isn't a lot.
So, four just...
3.3 ounces is what you need. That's a revis.
And this.
Now, this is 3.3 ounces. Not exactly,
so
but...
For all said,
what? Each cup...
Each cup.
One
each
second.
Four cups. Right.
Let's start again.
Well, what if you dilute the wine?
Just saying, that's still fine. This is the amount... This is what's called a revis in Allah.
So, this
a revis,
is four cups,
guys...
Like this.
Is approximately this, 3.3 ounces. Now, if you drink this volume of water, you make a bore nefashos. You drink this volume of wine, you make a bracha achrona on the wine. You drink less than this, you do not. When you make kiddush, you're supposed to drink a revius. That's this much. When you have the 4 cups of wine at the seder, you're supposed to drink this much. Now, look at a regular becher. Here's a regular becher. And let's pour this in here and estimate how much is that. Take a look. Pass it around. Because people usually think they have to drink much more than they have to. We'll get to that.
It's better when it's full.
We'll get to that. I just want us to get a picture how much is the volume we're supposed to drink. Now, you don't even have to drink that much. You have to drink more than half of that. Meaning, if that's a revius, if that's 3.3 ounces, so then what we have to drink is rov revius, the majority of 3.3 ounces, which means more than 50%. Meaning, you have to drink more than half of that. That's all you have to drink. You guys getting the picture? I want you to cry. When you come to my house, the Erev Pesach, you'll see all the grown men standing and crying. Laughing, we have pictures from the laughing and crying. Okay. Now, guys, did you follow that? Let's repeat that. If this is as much as you can, Danny. If this is a revius, gentlemen, are you guys with me? If this is a revius, we have to drink a little bit more than half of this, 51%. Now, there's one catch. The Talmud tells us that one is supposed to drink also the majority of the cup. So how do you drink the majority of the cup? So we say that you try to get a cup that has exactly that amount. Now, we left something out. Where's my agada? Oh, toda rabah. Okay. Gentlemen, are you with me till here?
Yeah.
Okay. So we have one more thing to measure.
So 1 cup is kezais.
One revius. Revius is 3 kezais.
Three kezais.
Is the volume of an egg and a half, which is 3 kezais.
You're
lucky we're in a big room. In my house, everyone's crying.
4 revius.
What?
We should drink 4 revius. 1 revius per time.
1 revius for each cup. Right. Yeah. Not even a revius. You have to drink the majority of a revius. But preferably you get a cup that has exactly this size, so that when you drink from it, you're drinking the majority of the cup equals the majority of the revius.
So
did everyone follow
this
that?
This revius.
Yeah.
Exactly revius.
Not exactly. I didn't measure exactly.
Yeah,
right. Okay. Yes, sir. Yes.
Isn't a problem of like a
sun? Yes. Eat normally.
So is it preferable to rather take longer time, like push it till 9 minutes?
No. Eat normally. The matzah, you eat normally at a normal pace. And you eat, you don't talk during the matzah. You're supposed to eat the matzah. A kezais kedeach idas pras. And in a minute, we'll estimate how much is a kezais.
So that means that...
You eat without talking, yes. After you make hamotzi, eat normally. Normally, it means normally, but normally also means without talking, without breaks. Guys, it's chaval, you should miss it. I'll tell you one thing. I don't know of another opportunity you'll have to learn this. So it's worth taking the time to get it down pat. Did everyone understand what we just said about the wine?
About the Raviv?
Yes. So wait, Danny.
Okay.
What? 1 second. So, are you with me? Yeah, 1 second. We said, this is a Revius. This is approximately the volume of a Revius. One is supposed to drink on the Seder night the majority of a Revius, which means 51% of this. You don't even have to drink this much. If 3.3 ounces is a Revius, so then you get a cup that houses this much, and then you drink more than half the cup, and you're done. Now, that's important at the Seder, where people have a tendency to drink wine on an empty stomach. All afternoon, they haven't been able to eat bread. We don't eat matzah, the eve of Pesach. So there's very little you could eat. So what are you going to eat? Some apples, some... you come in to the Seder very hungry, which is why I wanted guys to hold off on the food at least tonight, because at the Seder, you're going to be even more hungry.
Especially and then, because bones.
So you come into the Seder hungry, and then on an empty stomach, you get some wine. What do most people do? They take another cup of wine. They ask, am I allowed to have more than one cup of wine? Sure, I don't hold anyone back. You can drink what you want. But you're not supposed to. It's going to make you tired. So that's why I say, make sure you know how much. And at our table, we also have Coke, and we have water, and we have drinks. And when we make the blessing of Bori Pri HaGafen, if we have in mind that that blessing will cover other drinks, just like Hamotzi covers all food, Bori Pri HaGafen covers all drink. And then we could continue drinking throughout between the first two cups, which is what we do at my house. The guys, we bring out drinks, and the guys can drink. Now, that's the one thing in our Seder that's untraditional. Halachically, it's correct, but I've never seen a traditional Seder where people do it. But being that it's halachically correct, and for most guys it's difficult enough to hold off throughout the Seder, so we do it, because halachically it's okay. But you should just know that if you go to someone else's house for the Seder, don't expect them to take out any drinks until the meal comes. All you have on the table is wine, you drink your cup, and that's it. No one expects you to do anything else. You eat a little bit of karpas, and that's it. For the rest of the Seder, until the meal. Halachically, it's okay to drink in between the first two cups, drink other beverages, but people don't know that, and the custom has become most people don't drink. So I'm just telling you the halacha now.
So with the leftover wine, can you use it for the other?
Yes, yes.
And you have to add some more?
Yes.
And obviously, if it's for
the... Okay. Now, on the Seder night, so we have to have pillows. Those of you who didn't bring pillows could use these tents. Here you go, we have a gemach of clothing. And here we have another pair of pants. And they're clean. They were just donated to the gemach. They're fresh and clean. And here's a coat. Asher Chaim, you want to use a coat? But for the Seder, get pillows. You have to have a pillow to lean on. We lean on the left side. Remember, we lean on the left side. So you turn your chair around a little bit, you put the thing over the chair, and this way you could lean. Why are we leaning? Because we're supposed to be like free men. Now, the Yekish Minag is that at the beginning of each holiday, we sing Yigdal. And each holiday has its own tune. And I'm not such a good Yeki. I don't remember the tune for each holiday. So I'm going to try. I hope I'm getting the right tune. I tried calling my father before we started to ask him to make sure I remember right. I'm not sure this is the right tune for the Seder. I hope it's right. By the Seder, at the beginning, before the Kiddush of each Yom Tiv, the Yekis have meaning to sing Yigdal. Yigdal Elohim Chai ve'yishtabach nimtza ve'yineit en metziyuto echad ve'en yachid ke'yichudo nelam ve'gam ein sof le'achduto ein lo demut aguf ve'yeino guf lo na'aruch elav kedushato kadmon nechol davar asher nivra rishon ve'en reishit le'reishito hino adon olam nechol nocar yore gedulato umalchuto shefa nevuato netano el anshei segulato vetifato lo kam beYisrael kemo sheod navi umabit et emunato Torat emet natan ne'amoel al yad nevio neman meito lo yachaliv ha'el velo yamir dato leolamim lezolato tzofe veyodeya Setareinu mabit lesof davar bekadmuto kom leish chasid kemifalo noten larasha rak rishato yishlach lekitzemim meshicheinu livdot mechakeket yeshuato meitim yechayel merohov chasdo baruch adei ad shem tehilato meitim yechayel merohov chasdo baruch adei ad shem tehilato. Okay, now we light candles for Yom Tiv. If you guys are going to be guests, so you're supposed to chip in with the candles. You could give 10 agurot to your host, but they're lighting on your behalf. You're supposed to own a part of the candles, and this is true for Friday night as well. If you're at my house, so we usually ask you when you come on the eve of Pesach to be zoche, we let you purchase a part of the candles so that when my wife lights for you. So we're supposed to have candles by the table in honor of Yom Tiv. We also take out the... We also take out all the nice vessels in honor of the day, even though ordinarily, ever since the destruction of the temple, a woman doesn't don all her beautiful jewelry, and we don't set the table with all the beautiful vessels in commemoration of the destruction of the temple. But tonight, because we are reenacting the Exodus and we are free men, so we all have our gold goblets. Please pass out these gold goblets to everyone. Every person can take a cup, fill it up. Now, it is customary that we... our free men tonight, it is customary that we pour for one another. No one has to pour for themselves. Now technically in Halacha, all it says is that the head of the house does not pour for himself. But it has become the custom by most people that each one pours for his friend. The only issue is, as we mentioned earlier, it isn't considered modest for a man to pour for a woman unless she is his wife. So then the women pour for themselves and the men pour for themselves and spouses or siblings can pour for one another. But beyond that, that's where if you're a guest by someone's house, so you shouldn't be pouring for the host's wife. I mean, that's his job or his kid's job. Now, that's because we view pouring wine for one another as an act of intimacy. So that's left for couples to do with one another. Here you have wine. Those of you who will drink only wine at the Seder, please do so tonight as well. There's light wine. This year they stopped producing this wine so far. I was in the store last night. They didn't have any of this. I happen to be a fan of that wine. It's only like 3%, but how much? Yeah, 3.5%. But believe me, guys got drunk on this last year. Kol hakavod. Here you go, gentlemen. Oh, so we wear a kittel. Please, you're supposed to fill the cup till the top. 100%. Wait, but you could do grape juice. We have grape juice here too. This one needs a wine opener. This one also needs a wine opener. No one here has wine openers, right? Nah. Okay. Could you pass me the grape juice, please? Okay. Now, we wear the kittel either because we're taking out all the... smells like wine already. Because we're taking out all the beautiful vessels, so we want to remind ourselves that this is what we'll be buried in. A person's going to be buried in his kittel, so it's a reminder. Don't get too proud just because you have so much gold out on the table. Or else, it's because we're like angels tonight. We're free men, we're elevated, and that's like on Yom Kippur, where we wear it to commemorate that we're like angels. I wonder if this is good. Okay. So when we make Kiddush, usually the head of the house makes Kiddush and he's motzi everyone. I'll make Kiddush without saying God's name because it's not the night of Pesach. But I assume you guys want to hear the tune and then you could review it. Yes, do you want the tune or we'll just skip Kiddush? You want to hear it? Okay, so this is an ancient Yekish tune. We don't have a real Seder plate here, so let's make a mock Seder plate. Okay, here we go. We have our two korbanot, our egg, the chagiga, which is on the left, because it is less important than our roasted shank bone, which commemorates the Korban Pesach, which was the primary Korban of the night. Then we have our charoses, our maror and charoses. So those...
this maror, what's this?
This is maror.
And this?
That's maror. This is maror. That's also karpas. That's not maror. And charoses. And then we have the karpas, and the salt water, they are closest to us, because could I have the salt water? Because that's what we're going to use first. We go in the order of usage. The karpas is going to go in the salt water, so the one used first is on the right. Karpas dips in salt water, maror dips in charoses, and in the end we have commemorating the two kobanot, our shank bone and our egg. Kadeshuchatz karpas yachatz magid rachza motzi matza marok orech shulchan orech tzafun barech halel nirza. Kaddish, the father rushes home to make Kiddush so the children shouldn't fall asleep. And that's part of the idea that we prepare everything by day. Now remember, tonight is steeped with tradition. The story goes that there was a Chassidish Rebbe whose son came home and said, Kaddish. The father said, yeah, what's Kaddish? So the kid said, Kaddish is you come home and make Kiddush. So the father said, is that all the Rebbe taught you? So he said, yeah. So he called the Rebbe in and he said, is that all you taught the child? And the Rebbe said, yes, that's all I taught him. So he said, but don't you know the tradition is that you tell the kid the father rushes home so the little children won't fall asleep and then he makes Kiddush? Why do you leave out that sentence? So he said, is that so important? So he said to him, yes, it's so important. The father rushes home and he makes Kiddush. That's a reference to our father up in heaven. He rushed in to take us out of Mitzrayim. That's why we're rushing home for the children. Hashem rushed in and took us out of Mitzrayim before it was the last minute. Spiritually, the Jewish people in Egypt would have spent another day. They would have been totally intermarried. You see that in spite of the 10 plagues, you see that by the 9th plague, 4 out of 5 Jews were not fit to come out of Mitzrayim. They'd seen all these miracles, and yet by the 9th plague, 4 out of 5 Jews were not believers. 4 out of 5 Jews were not even interested in leaving Mitzrayim. And so 4 out of 5 Jews did not leave Mitzrayim. They remained. Their bodies remained in Egypt. So we were at a point, even though we had a year in which God was doing the 10 plagues against Egypt, we still were going down. Had we stayed another day in Egypt, we wouldn't have been able to get out. So now, when we say Kaddish, we rush home to make Kiddush, the Rebbe told this the Rebbe of his child. He said, what we're saying is we rush home just like our father up in heaven rushed home to take his children out. And so we rush home, and that's why we have to have everything ready by day. And I want to tell you guys, this is one of the things that traditionally Jews are not careful on, and it's wrong. In most homes, people come home and the kids start scrambling. I want this pillow. I want that chair. I want to sit here. I want to sit there. I want this cup. I want that cup. No. Everything has to be settled by day. When we come home, we rush in through the door. Those of you who attend my Seder know, I don't wait for anyone. I walk through the door, Kiddush, Gamarnu. You daven somewhere else, your problem. I start. I stick to the halacha. The halacha is, you come home from shul, you start. You're joining my Seder? Come on time, I can't wait for you. The focus of the Seder is the children. I'm going to hopefully daven here, yes. But I'm just saying, the focus of the Seder is the children. We're giving on the tradition. So if the focus of the Seder is the children, they come first. I can't have them fall asleep, so I got to start the Seder quickly. And that's what we do. So Kaddish, we rush home to make Kiddush so that the little children don't fall asleep. And we all stand for Kiddush, all rise. Gentlemen, stand up. Come on. Boker Tov. What? Previous years, my kids were up till 2, 3, 4 a.m. till whenever the Seder went. Asher Chaim will testify to that. Yeah. They get excited over it. Now, ordinarily when we make Kiddush, we make the blessing of Bor Priya Gafen. And then, right, we always look at which Haggadah has which stain from which year. Because that's a way of gauging the Haggadot. Okay. I don't have napkin, sorry. Now, I would want to point out, we're supposed to save things that are special for the kids for the Seder night, so that they look forward to the Seder night. That's the concept of Afikoman. They have a matzah to steal. It's something special about the Seder night. So this has become a thing that's given out, these marshmallows, and marshmallows covered with coconut. Now, the only thing you have to be careful is, in the United States, you have marshmallows that are being sold with a hechsher, for already since I was a kid, and the rabbi who gives the hechsher died about 10 years before I was born. So it's not a good hechsher. So you have to make sure you're buying with a good hechsher. The issue is there's gelatin, and gelatin can be made from pig or from fish. It could be made from animals. So this is made with fish gelatin, these marshmallows, and they have a very good hechsher. And here in Israel, you could buy good kosher marshmallows. The only thing you should know is if you're roasting marshmallows over the fire at your house, So the grate is treif. If it touches the grate, you shouldn't eat the marshmallow. The grate of the oven, you have milchik and fleishik, and everything drips on the grate. Okay. Now, ordinarily, when we make Kiddush, we make the blessing of Bor Pri HaGafen, and then we conclude Kiddush, and only then we sit back and drink from the wine. Tonight, we can't do that, because we have no obligation to make Kiddush. So directly after the Bor Pri HaGafen, we would have to sit down and drink the wine. So we're going to do things out of order. We'll do the tune of Kiddush, and in the end, we'll say Bor Pri HaGafen, and we'll all sit down and lean back. So my custom is that after the blessing of Bor Pri HaGafen, we sit down. And being that we're leaving the Bor Pri HaGafen for the end, we'll sit down right now already. Okay, I'm a lefty, so I hold the cup in my left hand, and we only lean at the time of drinking. Remember, set your pillows up, set your chairs to the left, and we're going to lean when it's time to drink. And let's begin with the Mak Kiddush. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech haolam Asher bachar banu mikol ha'am ורוממנו מכל לשון וקידשנו במצוותיו ותיתן לנו השם אלוקינו באהבה מועדים לשמחה חגים וזמנים לששון את יום חג המצות הזה זמן חירותנו מקרא קודש זכר ליציאת מצרים קיבלנו בחרת ואותנו קידשת מכל עמים ומועדי קודשך בשמחה ובססון הנחלתנו. ברוך אתה השם מקדש ישראל והזמנים. ברוך אתה השם אלוקינו מלך העולם שהחיינו וקיימנו והגיענו לזמן הזה. And then we would all lean back and drink, but because we didn't make the Bor Pri HaGafen, so now we'll go back and fill in the Bor Pri HaGafen. And those of you who want, I'll make the Bor Pri HaGafen, you just answer Amen, and then drink and lean while you drink. So I'll make the blessing, and whoever wants can make it for themselves. Whoever wants can answer Amen and Biyotze. But remember to have in mind that the Bor Pri HaGafen will encompass all the other drinks you're going to drink now, and the other cups we're going to drink later. At the Seder, us Ashkenazim make four blessings on each cup of wine. Sfaradim do not. But now, we don't have a mitzvah to drink four cups, so we cannot make four blessings on four cups. So have in mind the other cups you're going to drink later. Shechianu is for the Yom Tov, and Rav Yaakov Emden said we have to have in mind also all the special mitzvot of the night. So because everyone's tearing from the maror, now we could maybe move it away. Where is the maror? Ah, it's in front of me. That's why I'm tearing. Okay. Okay, so I could cry. It's okay. So I'm making the Bor Pri HaGafen. Maybe that's why Yechezkel walked out. It is exciting. It does bring a tear to the eye. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Borei Peri HaGafen. Now this grape juice is vinegar. For those of you who also took from the grape juice, I'm glad I was motzi some other people, because otherwise it would be bracha levatala. Don't drink from this grape juice. Okay? It's whole vinegar. That grape juice is vinegar. It's not grape juice. Okay, so now, in preparation for dipping our vegetable, what? In preparation for dipping our karpas in salt water, you guys enjoying me seeing me cry? Okay. This grape juice is vinegar.
Yeah, so, you didn't have it from this.
I had from this, yeah. But half, so it's not so bad. It's just not fitting for a bar pre-aguffin, but I was mozi everyone else. Okay. Now, we wash our hands without making a bracha in preparation for dipping the vegetable in salt water. So let's go wash our hands. We have the sink out there. It is customary that the head of the table has his hands washed by someone else. You bring a bucket, and then someone else washes his hands for him. But that's not necessary here tonight. In my house, we wash everyone's hands just so guys get used to it. So we pass around the bucket, and each one washes for someone else. But for tonight, let's go wash our hands outside, and then we'll continue with the karpas. For the karpas, we take a little bit of a vegetable. The idea is we just made kiddush, and the kid is used to, after kiddush, you start the meal. And we want to get him interested. So we're going to do something strange. So Chazal instituted that we take a vegetable, a little bit of a vegetable, dip it in salt water, and eat it. And then we make believe the meal has just happened. And the kid goes, wait a second, I didn't eat anything. What's happening? Why are you suddenly having dips? You didn't eat bread yet. What's going on here? You only have matzah, no bread. The idea is to pique his curiosity. That's the main purpose of the karpas. So we each take a volume of less than a kezias of karpas. And the idea in having less than a kezias is as follows. When we make the blessing of Borei Pri Adama on the karpas, we're supposed to have in mind that it covers the karpas and the maror as well. The maror is either the lettuce or the ground horseradish. That's what our blessing of Borei Pri Adama is going to cover. Now, if we were to eat the volume of a kezias, then before we make hamotzi, we'd have to make a bracha achrona, Borei Nefashos, on the karpas, or at least possibly have to make a Borei Nefashos. So in order to avoid that question, we don't eat a kezayis. If you eat a kezayis, so you're fulfilling the Gra's opinion, the Gra held to eat a kezayis. But most Orthodox Jews do not eat a kezayis. So we're going to pass around the karpas, our pepper. Each person should take a small piece. We dip it in the salt water, and that's why we washed our hands beforehand without a blessing. We washed our hands without a blessing, that's Urchatz. We wash our hands in preparation for dipping in salt water. We could pass around the salt water. Thank you, Dani, for preparing the delicious salt water. Okay, I'm relying on you. We hold it and we make a blessing. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Borei Pri Ha'Adama. Delicious, Dani. Tudah Rabah. Now.
Rabah.
Yeah. Sure.
So they can ask, why is tonight different?
That's an excellent question, Yehuda. If this were the Seder night, I would say, Yehuda, that was such a good question. Let me explain to you at length. The idea begins like this. We were in Mitzrayim, and there was this evil king named Paro. And he really tried to do us away. He couldn't do it politically, so he tried different concoctions. He tried to get midwives to kill our kids. He tried to put it through slavery. He did all kinds of things, and he was very vicious. I mean, he slaughtered Jewish children to bathe in their blood. He made parents take their children and give them over to him. He had his police force go out and gather Jewish babies. He had, if a Jew wouldn't live up to his quota of making mortar, you see this, like this? So they mixed the mortar, just like you see this charoses. And if they didn't live up to the quota, and then we take some wine. Can you pass me the wine? He'd take their Jewish baby and put him in the mortar and say, okay, tomorrow you'll live up to the quota, because otherwise I take another Jewish baby and put him in. And that's why we put wine in our charoses, to commemorate the fact that the Jews actually mixed the mortar and saw the blood of their children swirling in the mortar they had to mix. Now, do you begin to understand the answer that we're giving the kid? Meaning, we're working our way. He's asked a question. We're going to get back to that question. It's a very good question. But we're making it a long route to get back to that question. And the long route is going to, now that he's interested, he's initiated the conversation. So then I could take the long route and answer him. And if you'll attend our Seder Bezrat Hashem, which you will this year, so you'll see that I do all kinds of funny things to get my son to ask questions. And once he asks questions, that's how we go. Now, it's important, the halacha says, to have things that make the Yom Tov pleasurable. So for men, that's usually assumed that they like good meat and wine. And for women, it's usually assumed that they like jewelry and nice dresses. So a person has a mitzvah to buy his wife a nice new dress or nice jewelry for the Yom Tov. And for children, it's assumed that they like sweets and special food. So we're supposed to buy special food. Those of you, no one here was at our Seder last year. Were you at our Seder last year?
Yeah.
You remember what I had last year?
Yeah, nuts.
Nuts, walnuts. The only time a year I make sure I don't buy walnuts all year long, not in their shell. I buy walnuts like regular walnuts. But our kids only get walnuts in the shell Seder night. That's special for the Seder, nuts in the shell. And anything can be special if you only portray it as such. So when my son asks a question, I get all excited. Wow, that's a great question. Kol hakavod. Wow, you know what I have for you? And I run to the closet and I pull out. I make a whole to-do. And I say, I bought a very special thing for you this Yom Tov. You know, my father, when I used to ask good questions, he used to give it to me and I give him a walnut. And he goes dancing all around the bed and all around the house. He got so excited by the walnuts last year that a month ago, he asked my wife a question on the parsha. And my wife said, gee, that's a great question. Why don't you ask your father? She said, it's a good question. I'm saving it for the Seder. I want a walnut. And we were both surprised. He remembered. So you see, the effect worked. That's the idea. Chazal wanted the kid involved, make things that are exciting for him, and then he's going to get involved. So what we're going to do now, and this brings out the child in everyone, you'll see it our Seder, is we take the middle matzah and we break it. And this is called yachatz, which literally means breaking. And just like a poor man who doesn't know if he'll have food tomorrow, he doesn't eat all his food in one day. He takes the bigger part of the food and he puts it away in a bag to make sure he'll have it for tomorrow. So do we take the bigger matzah and put it away, and that's going to be the afikoman, this bigger matzah. And I tell my son, and by now he's already trained by all his friends, this matzah is so precious to me. This matzah is the most precious thing for me tonight. You know, if someone would happen to steal it from me tonight, I'd give him a toy or whatever he asked for just to get it back. So I hope no one steals the matzah from me tonight. And I put it in a special bag. And then my wife starts plotting with him how they're going to steal the afikoman. And the rest of the Seder is a game between me and him, where we're having the Seder, but at the same time, he's keeping his eye on the afikoman. And I have a fake bag, I have a dummy bag, and all kinds of things to keep him excited. He's with it. And of course, every so often, I'm going to leave it there, and he's going to sneak up and try to grab it. And what you want? Right, I'm with you. Suddenly, I'll take the matzah away. And the idea is, we're passing on to the child in a very subtle way that this matzah is precious. This is very important, this matzah afikoman. And the idea is that this is the essence of Yetzias Mitzrayim. This is, the matzah represents what we ate when we were in slavery. And the matzah also represents the matzah of freedom. We were in a rush when we left Mitzrayim. We ate matzah as slaves in Mitzrayim. And when we rushed out of Mitzrayim and we didn't have time to make any decent bread, so the bread that we had was also matzah. So both concepts are in the matzah. Matzah symbolizes avdut and matzah symbolizes chirut. And now I take my yachatz, my afikoman matzah, and I put it away. And now that we have broken matzah before us, we can begin the magid part, the recounting part, which is the next biblical mitzvah of the night, to tell over about the Yetzias Mitzrayim. And it begins by telling the child about this broken matzah. Why is it that we actually are going to eat broken matzah? Avdut is slavery. Throughout Shabbos, we're always careful. Don't pick off a piece of the challah before we make hamotzi. I'm always fighting with my kids. Wait. Don't pluck off pieces. My kids like plucking off pieces. You guys know, right? They're always fighting who gets the nose. So we always tell them, before the meal, don't pluck off the nose. At the meal, you'll get the nose. But tonight, suddenly, hey, we broke the matzah and we didn't make hamotzi. What's happening? So, we begin. You had a question, yes?
Regarding the command, the stealing, I'm afraid that there is some saying that it's not educational for the kids to
steal. It's difficult to say.
Control it so that you keep it in a safe place. They know where the place where you hid it.
I don't let them know. No, sometimes it's in the pillowcase. Sometimes it's under the tablecloth.
But it's only in the area of the table.
I think that people sometimes go too far. They start hiding it all around their house, and then the whole Seder becomes the focus of a game. Instead of an educational tool, the focus becomes the afikoman, which I think is wrong. It's taking things out of proportion. That's not the idea. We're supposed to be parents. The kids are supposed to be kids. We're supposed to be parents. So we're supposed to do this educationally.
My parents told me the grandparents never wanted them to steal it.
Right, there are generations that way, and if we're already talking about the afikoman, so I think that it is proper to have the apikomen, something educational. If your child is asking for a bike, okay. But if you could get your child by your wife or his older siblings to want a set of machzorim for apikomen, or a siddur, or a chumish, that's positive. It's nice to encourage the kid that those are going to be his desires, but there's nothing wrong if a child asks for a bike. That's perfectly normal. But some parents have this custom. They say, he who stole it, he gets the afikoman. And I don't think that's such a nice thing. I'd rather you give a cheaper afikoman and give each kid an afikoman than create jealousy between the kids and fighting at the night of the Seder, who's going to get the stealed afikoman. I know that earlier generations did this a lot. I don't think it's a good way to go. I think it's better that all the children get the afikoman. They all bargain together what they each want for the afikoman within reason. I mean, you're not their slave. If they're not going to give the afikoman unless they give you something, unless you give them something that's beyond your reach or you don't feel they should have, so take another matzah. The afikoman isn't going to be big enough for everyone to say there anyways. Look at this piece of matzah. Everyone has to get a kazayas. It's not enough. We supplement with other matzahs anyways. Everyone around the table doesn't get to eat. Everyone gets a little piece from this matzah. And their primary kazayas of afikoman is a different matzah. So it's not critical. If the kid's going to drive you crazy, so you say, buddy, keep your afikoman, I'm okay. He doesn't have you over the barrel. We play the game as though he has us over a barrel. But if he's going to be ridiculous, so he does not have you over a barrel. Yes? I can tell you there were years where I hid the afikoman and forgot where I hid it as a kid.
I keep a piece of matzah from yesterday.
Whoever gets it, I fight them both, and I try to make it a combined effort. They should both get it, and my wife helps. I mean, we work it out together. She tells me when I've gone too far, when I should give in. I wait for my wife's signal. I let her gauge. She knows what the kids are saying. Okay, so we. Yeah.
What's the origin of this word, the afikoman?
Afikoman literally is afikumane. Take out the dishes that at the end of the meal people would go to one another's houses to have coffee together, to party after the meal. So they take their own dishes. They bring their own coffee pot or they bring their own dessert. Right. Afikoman became to mean dessert because it was literally take out the dishes to go to the neighbor's house.
Greece, yes.
Yeah. So we don't have afikoman. We don't have dessert in this night. We say, this is our afikoman. This is our dessert. Tonight we sit with the kids. We don't leave them to go to the neighbors for coffee. Tonight we stay home and talk to the kids. Every other night you might get out of it. On tonight, any question he has, you got to sit there and answer him.
It's Greek, it's not Aramaic.
I think it's Greek. Okay. Halachmania. So we pick up the broken matzah and we say, this bread of affliction. That our forefathers ate in Egypt when they were still being afflicted. So the Egyptians would rush them. They didn't have time to eat normal bread. This is what they ate. It would give them indigestion. It was a good way to ensure they didn't spend too much time in the bathroom. They'd be constipated. It was something quick to make. So the Egyptians made sure this is what they ate. Kol dichfin, whoever's hungry, yete, come, the yechol and eat. Kol ditzri, whoever needs to join us for the Seder, yete, let him come, the yifsach, and join us for the Seder. Now we're not like we were in Egypt. There we were eating as poor men. Now look at all the wealth. Look at how much wine we have. Look at all the gold vessels. Everyone here has a gold goblet. Baruch Hashem. Everyone has a beautiful plate. We have a beautiful house. So this year, we're not slaves. Hashata this year. Haha, we're here. We're not yet back in the built Israel. Nishana ba, but next year, Barad Yisrael, we should be in the land of Israel. Hashata avdei. This year, we're still enslaved. Nishana ba, nechorin, but next year, we should be free men. And at this point, what they used to do in Chazal's time is they take away the table. The meal was over. In our time, so what we do is we cover the Seder plate. So the idea is to get the kid asking, wait a second, we didn't eat anything. What do you mean the meal's over? So if you just say, well, and the kid says, oh, Dad, my God, this says now you got to cover the matzah. So then you cover the matzah, you didn't do anything. So what we do in my house is we do something like this. Thank you. Everything was yummy. Who wants to help clear the table? Guys, Yishukach, it was a beautiful meal. Thank you. And then the kids will listen. What do you mean? What beautiful meal? We didn't need anything. Ah, good question. Now you're talking. Now we got a question. Now we can start. That's the idea. That's what Chazal wanted. That was the idea of covering the matzah. The idea of covering the matzah is instead of, in their days, they used to remove the table at the end of the meal. So we cover everything up as though it's over. But we all know that in our day and age, covering it means nothing. It's just one more ritual. We read an Agzat and we have no idea what we're doing. So let's make it real. Let's do what Chazal wanted us to do. Let's make believe the meal's over, which is what we do. Now, I let the cat out of the bag, Yehuda. So you'll be quiet when I...
Let the kids eventually catch on.
Eventually, but you'd be surprised. Guys come to my seder year after year and they fall for it. So it's okay. And those are adults. Eventually the kids will catch on. So you're right. Even my son last year was, Abba, you're not serious. So it's okay. You don't have to help. I'm clearing off the table alone. It's fine. Like I play until he fell for it. I played along a little bit. What? Yeah, if he doesn't fall for it, he doesn't fall for it. This is what Chazal instituted. And now we've finished doing the unusual things to pique his curiosity, because now we are entering the Magid. Now we're going to talk. So we wanted him to get involved until here. And once we've finished doing the unusual things, so the kid is supposed to ask the Manishtana. And customarily we all sing the Manishtana together, just like the whole Agada we say together. So we'll sing it together now. Yeah. Everything should be said the way people understand it. My Seder, I read the Hebrew and then translate into English. You have to understand what you're talking about. The whole Agada I translate. Everything I say. That's why I don't go for Betalach. I don't say all these deep, fancy pshatim. I say pshat. And believe me, that we barely make it. You're supposed to finish the whole meal and the halel and the fourth cup of wine before midnight. And we have a very hard time doing that in my house. And I don't add anything. And I don't let anyone else add anything. When people want to say just all kinds of Divrei Torah, I say, wait for after the fourth cup. Tell me whatever you want. Right now, pshat. You have a question, ask whatever you want. You want to just share with us a nice thought, share it with us during the meal. Because it's hard enough just to explain what we're reading. It's hard enough. It takes us 2 hours.
Whatever the kids are.
The kids and everyone who's present. Whoever's there.
I mean, if the kids have total freedom to ask.
So long as it's on topic. If he's going to ask me, why didn't we do Kiddush Levana tonight, I'll tell him we'll talk about it tomorrow. Yeah. Man nishtana ha-layla ha-ze mikol ha-leilot mikol ha-leilot shebechol ha-leilot anu ochlin chametzu matzah chametzu matzah ha-layla ze, ha-layla ze, kulo matzah. Ha-layla ze, ha-layla ze, kulo matzah. Shebechol ha-lilot, anu achlim she'al yerakot. She'al yerakot, ha-layla zeh, ha-layla zeh, ma'aroh. Ha-layla zeh, ha-layla zeh, ma'aroh. She'bechol ha-lilot, enanu matbilin, afilo pam echad, afilo pam echad, ha-layla ze, ha-layla ze, shitei pe'amim, ha-layla ze, ha-layla ze, shitei pe'amim, shebechol ha-lilot, anu ochlim ben yoshvim o ben mesubin ben yoshvim o ben mesubin ha-layla ze ha-layla ze kulanu mesubin ha-layla ze ha-layla ze kulanu mesubin. So now, technically, we should really continue the whole Agadah the way we did previous years and spend the next 3 hours learning the Agadah. But we're technically out of time. So let's skip forward to the meal, because the rest of the Agadah you guys could learn. Now, all the halachot that you need to know are in this pamphlet that we made a copy for each of you. Even regarding the measurements and how much it comes out, but you have to read it. So take the time to read it. I distilled what? I want to do the Agadah, but we're out of time. So we've been going through the Agadah. Do you guys want to do this next week if we have a continuation of the Maral Seder? Maybe Tuesday or Wednesday night?
When's Pesach?
So Pesach is the following week.
Probably I will not have time.
Okay, so you could catch it online. You could catch it. The Machon Meir recorded it live, a video. We have people all over the world leading Siddurim. I got emails from Poland and from Atlanta and from places all over the world. People who lead the Seder, view our Seder here, our model Seder. And last year's model Seder and the year before that's model Seder. And based on that, we went through the whole thing last year and the year before that. So you have two model Seders on TorahForMe.org. And also on Machon Meir's website, you could view it. It doesn't equal the experience. I would like us to take now 10 minutes just to go through what we do at the Seder and actually do it. You guys should taste the karpas, taste the maror. Some have a custom not to eat matzah at this point. My custom is not to eat matzah from Purim onward. Others have the custom not to eat matzah from tomorrow onward. Others have the custom not to eat matzah just the eve of Pesach, which is what it says in the Talmud. In the Halacha, it technically says, Erev Pesach, you don't eat matzah. You want to come into Pesach, and the matzah should have a special flavor. But my custom is not to eat matzah from Purim onward, so I can't join in the matzah. But I would like us to reenact what we do at the Seder. So at this point, let's give out the sheets, and you guys will read it together to understand what we're doing. So remember that in America, the Pesach comes in later than here and goes out later than here. So you have to get a rabbi that'll sell in accordance with the time zones that you're in and also in accordance with the time zones your chametz is in. And there are rabbis who do that. You just got to verify who does. If you're a Bechor or you have a child who's a Bechor and not yet old enough to fast, so go attend to see him on the eve of Pesach. Make sure your suit, kittel, is clean and ironed. Get ready with a haircut, a shave in honor of the Yom Tiv. And do your laundry. Remember that many people have the custom not to shave or take a haircut till Lag BaOmer. My custom is that we start Rosh Chodesh Iyar till Shavuos. So, different customs. What? I think so. I think that's what Rav Moshe Israel is in the Ramaro. Okay, back to different customs. Whatever you do is good. I don't shave from Rosh Chodesh Iyar till 3 days before Shavuot. Till the, we'll discuss it in our Spiros Omer class. We'll discuss it. Mitzvah Hashem next month. Okay. Remember that on the first day of Chol HaMoed, we go over to Morid Atol from the Saint Talumotar. We say Morid Atol, the Saint Bracha and Morid Atol. We stop Mashiv Aruach and we stop at Saint Talumotar. Okay, now, let's go onward. We have to prepare all the things for the meal that you guys aren't doing, I think. And chametz free home we discussed. And bdikas chametz, those of you who are leaving the dorms and are coming back, so you have to check for the chametz. And then we state that the chametz is not in our possessions. You gotta get early to daven if you want to finish eating. I don't know what the time is for this year, but it's early. You see it's somewhere around 9:30 that you have to finish eating your chametz and then burn it. Most Orthodox synagogues have at least one siyum at the synagogue, so you'll be able to catch a siyum there, and then you'll be able to eat if you're firstborn. Yeah.
This year,
oh, you have Birkat HaChama this year, right? Preferably at Neitz. What? If you could go to Neitz Minyan and say Birkat HaChama, that's beautiful. Now, from noontime on the eve of Pesach onward, we stop doing Melachot, just like on Chol HaMoed. Preparations for the eve of Pesach. So set the table. Those of you who are coming to me, bring your pillows, bring nothing else. Please don't bring anything, wine or anything. We supply everything. Just the pillows. And make sure they're clean without starch. Prepare the horseradish, charosa, salt water, roast the shank bone for the Seder plate, cook the egg for the Seder plate, prepare the food for the meal, take a nap. Guys, please take a nap. I take a nap. My kids take a nap. I want you to have koch to sing and be part of the Seder till 2 o'clock in the morning at least. So take a nap, call your parents and wish them a happy holiday. Yeah? And prepare the candles to light in honor of Yom Tov. Now, the mitzvahs of the night, you guys could go over on your own. And let's move forward to the wine we discussed, the revius. Just remember, we forgot to mention that there is another way of evaluating the revius, which yields 4.42 ounces on biblical mitzvot, like on the cup for Kiddush. It's preferable to use 4.42, the Kiddush on Friday night. Okay.
So we cannot cook and.
Sure, we could. On Pesach, on Yom Tov, you're allowed to cook.
And,
you're allowed to take a fire from place to place.
And
you don't light a new fire, but you could.
We cannot light a new fire.
Right, but if you have a flame lit, you could light another flame from it. You don't strike a match, but you could light from one flame to the other.
But Shabbat, not
Yom Tov, yeah. Yom Tov, yeah. Okay. Okay, let's move forward to the... To page, these don't have page numbers. The page that says on top, Rachza. We wash our hands for eating the bread. And this time, we finished the Magid, we finished recounting, and now we're going to make the blessing on the Tils Yadayim. Now, we're going to take the three matzahs and make the blessing of Hamotzi. Then, we're going to make the blessing of Alachilas Matzah. Now, when we make this blessing, we're having in mind, I'm going to eat the matzah that it is a mitzvah to eat tonight. Which matzah is that? So one opinion says it's the first matzah you're going to eat. That's the matzah you're about to eat. The other opinion says it's the matzah you eat as a sandwich with the maror and the korech, and the, what we call the korech sandwich with the maror and charoses. And the third opinion says it's the matzah you're going to eat at the end of the meal, the afikoman. So we try to have all three in mind when we make the blessing of Alachilas Matzah, and this is where everyone messes up in my house every year, we're not supposed to talk from the time we make the Amotzi and Alachilas Matzah till we finish the sandwich. Meaning, we're going to wash our hands, make the blessing of Amotzi, make the blessing of Alachilas Matzah, eat a kezayis of the Matzah, then after we eat a kezayis of the Matzah, we'll make a blessing Alachilas Maror, eat a kezayis of the Maror, and then we'll make the sandwich and eat them all together. And only after we finish the sandwich could we talk. You guys with me?
Yes.
Yeah, everyone says yes, and no one does it every year. What?
It's hard for Jews to be quiet.
So again, from Netilat Yadayim till after the sandwich, we don't talk, because the blessing of Alachilas Matzah goes on the matzah of Hamotzi and the matzah of the sandwich, and also the matzah of Afikoman, but we don't have to keep quiet that far till the Afikoman. Now, during the meal, it is customary to eat the eggs and salt water. Is anyone going to join us now for some matzah? Are you guys going to eat matzah?
As for me, no.
No. So whoever wants could wash. Now, let's just continue for a second. How much is a kezayis? How much matzah do we have to eat? You guys with me? Look at 18. You guys see comment 18 on the bottom of the page? Okay, a kezayis is 1.5 ounces, right? How much is a kezayis? Approximately 1.5 ounces. So a sheet of matzah, 7 by 6 to 5 inches, is approximately 1.5 ounces. So let's see. Here we have a sheet of matzah, which is not 7 by 6 to 5 inches. It's... Okay, so we have to eat approximately this much matzah to eat the first kezayis. And then we eat a drop more than this. We eat approximately this together with the sandwich. And you guys estimated, you guys saw how much maror you have to eat? Now, here comes the tough part. You could eat it, yeah. Here comes the tough part. If you're going to eat horseradish for your maror, how much horseradish do you have to eat to get a kezayis?
When should I wash the matzah?
No. When should you wash the matzah? I think we're going to call it a night in 2 minutes. Afterwards, you take as much matzah as you want. Guys, taste the charoses that you have made. I'm sure it's delicious. If you're eating only the charoses, it's a very rare
Afshar Mazle, Afshar Fox.
We have course, yeah.
So with the Maror, since it's the Rabbanan, shouldn't you be Nato? At least like have a smaller measurement whereas with the Matzah?
It says it there. Read, it says it. In my in the notes, it says that. It says you could have a smaller share. Anyone else want a fork? Haro says.
So the mainstream of which is Rafael, Rafael.
Here you go.
Chazanish, which is two.
What's called the Chazanish? Okay. Okay, gentlemen, any question thus far? Yeah, isn't it delicious? The charoses. Yecheskel, where are you for the Seder? If you're joining me, let me know because I'm almost out of room.
Okay.
If anyone else wants to join, you have to let me know because we're almost hitting capacity. Okay, so the Korach we understood. We take the maror, we dip it in the charoses, but guys, dip and shake off. Not like people make it a shmir of charoses, a little bit of maror, another shmir of charoses. You could do that later during the meal. But that's not the idea of the maror. And then, we have the meal. And make sure to leave room. Make sure to leave room at the end of the meal for the afikoman. The afikoman cannot be eaten when you don't feel like eating. It has to be eaten when you still have room to eat. That's not called achila, achila gasa. At the very end of the meal when you still have room to eat.
And now, yet it should be.
On a full stomach, but not on an overfull stomach.
Yet that should be the one that satiates you.
That's what satiates you, right? So like the Rambam says, eat a third less than you think you have to eat. Rambam says, eat when you think till where you feel you're a third, you need a third more to eat to be full. That's what Rambam always says.
You don't have blessing?
No.
Since
not its own mitzvah.
Right.
Not its own mitzvah, right. Okay, any questions, guys? Are we all done? Yum. Okay. Let's say that. Any questions?
Right, regarding the Kazayit, there's an idea to have the whole. Amount on your mouth.
You have to swallow it within one gulp, within that time span. You don't have to have it all in your mouth.
So according to the opinion of this,
swallow and eat and swallow.
Rav Nezra, it's mamash kazai. There's an opinion that holds it.
That's what we say. The volume of an olive. That's we're lenient with it.
A normal olive. So.
Well, a big olive, not a normal olive. Zeit aguri, the Gemara says, a big olive.
A big olive.
And not the olives you see pickled, a big olive.
You want this with soap?
With the pit. The volume of an olive with the pit.
No, but the I rinse before.
Okay. Gentlemen, any questions or are we gonna call it a night?